Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate everybody tuning in to us here. Again, right now we're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. And if you're feeling stuck on where to go for mortgage advice, let Mortgage Investors Group help you, guide you through these uncertain times with any questions you have. And they'll help you fit your needs, achieve your goals, whether it's refinancing or getting pre-qualified, or you just have some general questions about rates or anything. Your process, MIGOnline.com. And we're coming to you live today, virtually from Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville. Normally we'd be out there on a beautiful Friday like this, but we're not. We're coming to you from our home studios, and that doesn't mean that the savings aren't coming to your home from their car studios. That is, they're going to pay all your car payments until 2021. Your new Kia is going to come with a 200,000-mile warranty. And if you're not in the new car market, they do have their award-winning service department is open and sanitized and ready to help any way they can as well. Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville.
Sanitized, ready for your protection and your service at Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville. Eric, we're going to get into some of how players are staying in shape and how schools are tracking that coming up. What can they do? What can't they do? We'll play Would You Rather coming up at 11 o'clock as well, as Jake will join us from Rusty Wallace Kia to do that. We'll have a weekend preview and how our school is going to handle the football season. But first, Peyton Manning stopped in to a class virtually last week. Well, yesterday he stopped into Tennessee's online quarterbacks meeting and had some encouraging words to say to the Tennessee QBs.
Hear from a guy that's been in your shoes, okay, played at a high level, one of the best that's ever played the game at that position. So, Peyton, you share with us whatever's on your mind and your heart.
Sure. Thanks, Coach. Yeah, guys, thanks for letting me join in on the meeting. I know this is not the way any of you expected to spend the spring of one of your years in college, but like Coach was saying, it's kind of who can adapt and who can handle it during this time that's going to come out ahead. And instead of, you know, complaining and saying, you know, how bad it is, you know, see it as an opportunity to improve at something. And I think you got to get creative. You guys are already getting creative by having these, you know, meetings. But to me, look, at some point you're going to play football again. You know, who knows when that is. And I imagine you guys are headed for summer school online classes as well, right? So, you know, there's a new norm coming out there. But to me, the team, the players that can really make this into a positive are the ones that are going to come out ahead on the end of this. And look, nobody has any experience in dealing with this. The closest thing that I can relate this to is in 2011, the NFL had a lockout where you weren't allowed to go into the building. You weren't allowed to talk to your coaches in the off season. It truly was a lockout. But as players, we could still organize our own workouts. And I had this great plan. I got, you know, cards drawn up. I got, you know, jerseys. I had, you know, all these walkthroughs set up. I had all the players. I found a high school field. I felt we were going to have this incredible advantage because no other teams were doing that. We really had a good group and we got it together. And next thing you know, I have this neck injury and I'm out for the season, and it kind of all went for naught for me. But my point is, if you guys can find a way to get some extra work in, I mean, the communication you guys ought to be able to get with your receivers, with your linemen, with your running backs during this time, you know, create your own little Zoom meetings with different groups and just talk and communicate about your offense, about what you're expecting from a receiver on a certain route, right? I mean, use the time. I know it's hard to work out together and throw together, and I know that can probably be frustrating right now, but if you get a chance to do that, you know, take advantage of this time to communicate. You know, Coach wanted me to talk to you about a couple things that I always thought was important as a quarterback and as an offense. And I mean, you guys have a real opportunity to take some real ownership here as leaders and lead the offensive troops, right? Organize whatever meetings, whatever things you're allowed to do. You guys ought to be the ones, you know, playing the role of the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, you know, the head coach, if you will, right? Because the coaches are limited now what they can do. It's a chance for you guys to really display some ownership and leadership, and guys are going to follow you, right? And it's not necessarily about a rah-rah speech, right? It's about putting the work in, having it organized, whatever it may be. Guys are going to say, wow, these guys really are on top of it. These guys are passionate about it. I'll follow this guy anyway.
So those are comments from Peyton Manning in the quarterback room yesterday. And, Eric, that's a good opportunity for guys to hear from the GOAT.
And that was pretty powerful, man. I mean, yeah. it's so true, too, and that's such great advice to these guys. I remember, obviously, Brian, you know Carmen Tagano.
Yeah.
Carmen sat down with me going into my junior year when Cut was back, and it was the summertime, coming up on mini-term, getting ready for the summertime. It was similar time to now, and he had a whole conversation with me about what he thought Peyton would do if he were me. And it wasn't, you know, he wasn't in your same situation, but same circumstances. Obviously, everything's different. But he said, if Peyton were here right now, here's what he would tell you to do. And he said, you can ask him in July, but, you know, it's here we are in late April. So don't waste that time. Here's what he would do. And he said, and it's because I would have told Peyton what to do. So here's what I'm telling you that you should do. And it was just a really, really good advice. And I like took it to heart and I implemented it. And I think it really, really benefited me when it came to the relationship that I had with some of the receivers and different skill players and the success that we were able to have in the buy-in. I mean, it was a complete plan. And I think that these quarterbacks can do this. And I think it's really cool. It's really powerful. You know, it's not Jarrett Garantano organizing a meeting and the other guys trying to organize theirs. You have the quarterbacks that communicate with the team, and you have obviously someone can set it up and all that kind of stuff, but you're treating it more like a position of power. I mean, if you noticed in that, Peyton never said one time any of their names specifically. It's the position that is the important thing. It's the power of being the quarterback at the University of Tennessee at any big time program, where you are they're going to go as you go. And we've seen that's the case here, like it is everywhere in any other time of our history playing the game of football. So that's really powerful, man. These guys can be setting things up and doing things through Zoom and that have nothing to do with the coaches, and it can just be watching old film. Gosh, it can be, you know, rehashing the good times and the bad times, you know, making fun of guys for, remember when you fell down right before you caught the ball here? Remember when I did you missed this read? Ha ha ha. Look at me, I'm wide open. Like, you can have that camaraderie through a Zoom meeting watching film, and you can have it all organized via huddle real simply. You wouldn't even need help from anybody to do anything like that. It's really, I think that's a great idea.
And it's a really good idea to have one of the greatest players to ever play the game be the one that gets in there and starts suggesting those things to you. I mean, what a resource to have that, what are we going to do in our quarterbacks meeting today? Well, we're going to get some words of encouragement and some advice that we can actually use from one of the greatest to ever play the game. A player so great that NBC dedicated an entire night the other night to showing his old games.
So, like, I think that the coolest thing about Peyton, this is the coolest thing about Peyton. Now, he's good at commercials. He was an incredible football player. He, all that kind of stuff. It's his continued effort to give back. Because here's the thing. I guarantee, and I shouldn't say I guarantee, I would be shocked if this was Tennessee or Pruitt or Winky or any of their ideas. I would be willing to guess publicly that Peyton Manning reached out to Coach Fulmer or someone over there or Pruitt and said, hey, I'd love to talk to the quarterbacks. Can we get that set up? And he's just been doing that forever. Remember, he used to come every July
yeah,
and train and throw and and we'd go through, and you know, and it was so cool because I remember going into my junior year, and really my freshman, we did it a very similar way with Randy Sanders, but it was, you know, Cutcliffe, he implemented here's the warm up we do every day. Literally everything from eye placement while you're playing catch to foot placement. We did the Peyton Manning warm up. You know, when I teach kids how to throw the ball, but every day, whenever I get out there, I wish I could do it more now, but with three kids and basically two full time jobs, it doesn't happen very often. But I would love to do it that more. You go out there and you do the quarterback warm up. It's the Peyton warm up. And when I watched Peyton Manning grab the ball and start from the very, very, like, very step that he did, I was going, that's exactly what I was about to do. That's exactly what I was about to do the whole time. And I was going, man, this is like that. It almost like empowers you to feel like a Robin to his Batman. You know what I mean? Like when you're out there and you're watching him and it's like, holy cow, like that's literally exactly what I'm about to do. All right, let's run. And then he went out there and he called Meyer, which is the first play every Tennessee quarterback up until me anyway. It probably died with me, but that's really sad, by the way. But anyway, it probably did. He's calling the same play, and then I was about to call that play. Well, that's awesome. And then I watched his read and his footwork and his little shoulder move, and then boom, he went back to the dig route, and I was going, that's exactly what I would have done with the ball right there. And I was just like, literally, Robin to his Batman is how you felt. So like these guys doing this, it's just the coolest thing that he does. You don't see Tom Brady doing this kind of stuff with Michigan. You rarely see anybody do it. And if it is, it's usually almost like it's more self-serving, like their publicist is there while they're giving back to these little college players. You know what I mean? Like Peyton just genuinely loves the University of Tennessee and the quarterback room over there. And he wants to share with them because he wants them to have success. I don't know. I'm full Peyton today. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity for him to get with the quarterbacks and to provide some of that, you know, very important advice on how to handle, you know, and he used the phrase that I'm going to propose that be banned after this is over, which is uncertain times, but you don't know, and that's one of the things where
that's a Netflix series for sure. Stranger Things, Uncertain Times.
It's one of the things that we're going to talk about coming up here in a little bit. What is the plan going to be for football coming up? When could they play? Brett McMurphy had a good story on that yesterday, and he has a whole series of it at Stadium right now of what is football season going to look like, when is it going to be played, and when will we know, as he's polled athletic directors all across the country. But Peyton's talking about them, hey, when you are going to play again, who's going to be the most prepared whenever that day is? And you guys have the opportunity to do that. I thought that was a really good message for the quarterbacks.
100%. And we may not know everything that's going to happen. We may not be completely prepared, but Rusty Wallace Kia is prepared to help you all the way through 2021. Right, Brian?
Absolutely. They'll make your payments through the end of the year. Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, home of the 200,000-mile warranty, I-75 and Callahan Drive in Knoxville. Check them out, and Jake will join us coming up in just a few minutes. They're bringing us a virtual remote today as we broadcast from home. But they are open and ready to serve you. It's the Eric Haynes Show. Bristol this weekend is the NASCAR race that was scheduled. The Food City 500 was scheduled for this weekend. One cool thing, though, obviously iRacing is going to bring the virtual event this Sunday. And Food City would have had its Food City Family Race Nights this week. Well, they're going to have a virtual one today, starting at 1 o'clock on the Food City Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram feeds. They're going to have some memories of the fan-favorite event and also engage with fans and drivers throughout the day. So if you're sitting at home or working from home, pull up the Food City Facebook and Instagram pages today. They'll be doing the Food City virtual family race night all day today. So that's pretty cool.
Fun.
So this is normally a really big, really fun weekend up in Bristol, but unfortunately, this year, and NASCAR is committed to running all the races that were scheduled. So hopefully we'll get that Bristol race in, or the spring race in at some point. And then, of course, the night race coming up later this year is supposed to be part of the playoffs for the first time. So should be a lot of fun once we get back to it. College football, when is it going to be played? That's the biggest question. Brett McMurphy was on Sports Talk yesterday, had some very interesting things to say, and you can follow his work at Stadium, but also check out the podcast at 991thesportsanimal.com. But, Eric, some of the ideas that are being batted about, potentially a conference-only schedule beginning in October, where every team from every conference would play 9 conference games, 5 would be either home on the road, and then 4, obviously, the opposite. So some teams would get 5 home games, some teams 4. The other option would be for the SEC or teams, the schools that play 8 conference games, to play 9 total games, 1 non-conference and then 8 conference, or to try to play the full schedule but break it over the 2 semesters, started in the fall semester in October, November, December, and then play the second half in January, February. Or the third option is just to go ahead and bump the entire season back to the spring.
I think it's really, really smart that we're having these conversations now and that they're trying to get ahead of it and stay ahead of it and all that kind of stuff. And we may know, every day it becomes more and more realistic that we have changes made, because I've been the proponent this entire time that you cannot have kids off campus and then just bring the, you know, doing workouts like the gentleman asked a few minutes ago, and you can find all the videos through Twitter that they're putting out there for their guys to do different workouts to do at home. They send them different things to do to try to stay in shape. It's body weight stuff. It's exercising, jumping, platform jump. I mean, it's going out doing single leg jumps off the curb, you know, and sticking it. I mean, it's very creative, and I'm glad that they're doing that stuff. But you can't take guys from that environment and then just pop them in training camp. That's not realistic. That guys would be getting hurt left and right. You wouldn't have a football team to play games with. So there needs to be a reacclimation period where they're going through real workouts and getting their bodies ready for training camp. So that, just so everyone, you know, so everyone can kind of tell that, like, you need at least, I'd say, 3 weeks to a month. And that is, like, so pushing it to where you'd have them together before you could go to your month-long, three-week-long training camp. So you're looking at, realistically, in my opinion, needing a month and a half at a serious minimum. And even that's dangerous, but a month and a half minimum in order to even be able to start playing some football games. So it's going to be tough for them. You know, if they can't be on campus until August, then you're probably going to be pushing back starting times a little bit. If that's the soonest they're there, if they can't get there till September, you know, then you're looking at not starting the season until, you know, the mid fall. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. I do not think I would be on here beating the drum as much as I want football. I'd be saying this is not okay for the football players to just show up and be ready to go to training camp. It's not realistic. You'd have guys hurt. So I don't know which model that lends itself more to. I will say this. I mean, if we have to play Oklahoma and 8 SEC games, like, give me a break.
Well, I think it would be, if you're talking about playing a 9-game schedule where you play 1 non-conference game and then 8 conference games, it would be a home game for each of the SEC teams. Because here's the thing. Those schools that you're going to want to bring in are going to, frankly, need the money to fund their program. And you're going to need the money from a 5th home game to help fund your whole athletics program. And that's where I think, I don't think that just playing conference games is realistic. I think no matter what, athletic directors are going to try to find a way to play every conference game or every game scheduled. Everybody plays a 12-game schedule for the reasons I mentioned. The whole reason why they're talking about football being most important here is because football makes the money for every athletic department to fund its entire athletics program. Similarly, for the non-Power 5 schools, the checks that they get for playing non-conference games fund their football program and their entire athletics department for the year. So without those, you know, the Middle Tennessee States of the world don't exist. You know, maybe 1AA teams or FCS teams have a different model because they don't have to play as many bye games. But, I mean, ETSU is going to Georgia in week two. They're getting a lot of money to do that, and that money is going to allow the football program to operate at the level that they're expecting to for the year. So I think even if they have to split it over two semesters, or even if they only play it in the spring, and boy, talk about a crowded sports calendar with every college sport playing in the spring, but I think that would be the option that they would pick, because these ADs are looking around and saying, we need to play all 12. What does that look like? I don't know. Do we get to play all these bowl games? I don't know. But we have to play 12 regular season games.
Yeah, I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's realistic to not have the 12 games. So the option of playing less games to me should be off the table. It needs to be to play 12, and you need to have an acclimation period. Other than that, you know what that looks like. Obviously, I mean that changes literally on a day by day basis. So
it really does.
It's unrealistic for anybody to forecast. Like, I'll give you this, like an accurate forecast. It's kind of like we say on the radio all the time, like your opinion can change. A forecast can change. So what we talk about today on Friday, April 3rd, 2020, about like a realistic forecast for this is blah. By next Friday, April 10th, we could be on here saying, guys, the realistic forecast is they're not going to be. I mean, literally just in the last 24 hours, you know, we've had how much different things change logistically through, you know, in the state of Tennessee and the Southeast and our country,
yeah,
period.
Stay at home order started yesterday, yeah, in the state of Tennessee.
So you don't know where this, no one knows where this thing is going to go. You just have to follow it every day. Take it for what it is. And when you can, hopefully by doing the things that we're doing and get more people buy into this, if you want to have a football and you want to get back to normal, like now is the time. I was really proud of Knoxville yesterday. We went and got some Gus's world famous fried chicken. We went and got a family pack, and I took the kids to Lakeshore, and it had just been mowed. There was a lot of people there. But they all did a really, really good job of, like, there were people, girls in cars, like I told you my wife did with her friends, but they were in their cars, the windows down, and they were parked away from each other. There was two college-looking age girls, and they were, one was on a blanket, and the other one was on a blanket, and they were, like, 10 feet apart from each other, hanging out, talking to each other. No one but families was interacting with each other. When people would come, I would be, you know, having my kids, you know, get off to the path a little bit here. Let them walk by. There was an elderly couple that was coming out of their car, and we ran to get in front of them so we would just be in front of them so we could not have to be inching behind them, you know, crowding them, because people are, I mean, I just watched from our family to all the people out there, they were doing the right thing. And I think that that's the most important thing. Just like you hear Vicki Fulmer say, do your part, stay apart, do it right now, because if we want to have all the things we want our old normal back, not this new norm crap. If we want the old normal back, then we got to do it now.
Absolutely. We'll come back. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. If you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show, to their players and their strength coaches are able to monitor what they're doing with them. Previously, Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz had been asked about what his players were doing, and he said they weren't even allowed to ask them if they were working out. So, those are two very different approaches to how the rule is being enforced. Saban said this, quote, yesterday, they were very instrumental in setting up this whole program of what we're doing with the players in terms of Apple Watches for their workouts, apps on their phones for weight training programs. We had an issue with some players not having a place to work out. We put them on banned workout programs. They've done a really good job managing it, and the players have done a really good job responding to it. Unquote. Immediately following him saying that, strength coaches and athletic departments around the country started questioning very publicly how Alabama was allowed to provide Apple Watches to their team, given the restrictions right now on players. Several people reached out to media members to say we have no idea how they're doing that or how that's legal, because their understanding was all they could do with players in terms of workouts was give them a plan and say good luck.
and Saban's got him given. Okay, well let's take the conversation here. Which do you think is the way that it should be? Because I lean towards. Now I don't know that every single player. I mean, of course, at Alabama there's a fund for Apple Watches during a pandemic. I mean, those things are not cheap. Even if you went and got, you know, you pre-owned ones, which you know they're not. You know those are brand new, latest series 4 or 5 or whatever they're on now. And every kid has a phone, so and you can put an app on it. That I have no problem with. I just, even, you know, the giving them iWatches is a little intense to me. I don't know that that's realistic for everyone to be able to do that. So I think that's probably excessive, but downloading an app on your phone and sending it there, or, you know, videoing, you're setting it up, having someone show you how to turn the phone around and prop it up there somehow so you could send them or give them those, you know, they could send, instead of sending watches, they could send like the little, here, you holster your phone in this thing and you can set it up on the, in the garage or wherever, and you can video you doing what you're doing, or live stream it so they can, or do a Zoom workout together or something like that. I think that should, they should be able to do stuff like that. It's probably a little excessive to give them all brand new Apple Watches.
They're allowed to give them Apple Watches. They're allowed to track sleep and all those things under normal circumstances. These are not normal circumstances, and the response from others in the SEC and around college football is admitting that you're looking at what they're doing is a blatant violation of the rules. Because the SEC instructed programs that at part of out-of-season activities policies, quote, virtual involvement with student-athletes' physical activities is prohibited, such as remotely watching or directing workouts, unquote.
But should it be?
Yeah, I think it should be, because that's the rule that it always is. That's always the rule. You can't watch your players work out when they're not under your direct supervision. The issue here isn't that they're directing workouts or that they're providing them a workout to do. It's that they're still able to monitor the data from the watches remotely and say, you did this, you weren't working hard enough, your heart rate wasn't up, all these things. That's what people have a problem with. It's not that they gave them the watches necessarily, because a lot of schools have given fitness trackers to their athletes to monitor sleep, to monitor heart rate, to monitor all these things. That's happening at a lot of places, not just Alabama, and a lot of those places are using Apple Watches to do it.
Sure.
But their issue right now is Alabama's strength staff reviewing these numbers and continuing to use them as a way to hold guys accountable at a time when the rules explicitly say you can't hold them accountable.
But isn't that a rule that was in place before the pandemic?
Yeah.
My argument is simply is not that it is, it does to me look like they are blatantly breaking that rule. But I said it earlier in the show, all rules that predate these quote uncertain times, to end quote Brian's least favorite phrase, should go out the window. I believe that they should be able to monitor their workouts and monitor everything that's going on with them. God forbid, what if their heart rate was, they were working out and their heart rate was excessively high and they're going, wait, that's not normal for you. And they kept checking it. I mean, like, to me, the safety of working out and having them monitor it right now should be more important than ever. What Alabama's doing to me is what everyone should be doing. And I don't think the people that were calling them out on it were mad that they were doing that in regards to that being the right thing to do. They were just saying, wait a minute, why do they get to do that? We can't do that.
Right.
We want to do that. Why can't we do that? How come they get to do that?
Yeah. The direction was, you can't do this because, and it is, yes, part of the rules before, but also this was a very specific rule set out when the SEC and when other conferences suspended all required activity. They also said, hey, these rules are specifically still in place because we don't want you to get together and do workouts.
I hate that. Well, and they're not getting together physically. They're right. still doing it by themselves. I hate that I'm going to say this, but I'm on Alabama's side on this one. I'd say break the rules and come. We're Alabama, and oh, sorry, we're holding our kids accountable during these times, and we're monitoring their health while they work out by themselves, which they don't ever do when they're here. They're always working out in front of professionals and people that are trained to monitor them. And I'm on Alabama's side on this one. They are breaking the rules, but we've seen Nick Saban break the rules before and just kind of put double barrels up and say, the rule is stupid. I'm not stupid. The rule is stupid. And then usually the rules change and he ends up not getting in trouble. I would be in favor of that. And this, I would, if I was Tennessee, I'd look at what they're doing and I'd go, we have, our kids have these, they have ways to monitor. They have phones. We have workouts we're putting out there. Let's do it too. Hold them accountable. Make sure that my freshman that we're going to be counting on isn't coming in. Darnell Wright's not sitting at home last year watching Netflix and Tiger King all day long, and make sure he's out there working out, because you're going to be counting on him. You're going to be relying on him. I mean, we have some freshmen that we need to make sure are this year better. We're in a better situation for this than ever. But from a Tennessee specific standpoint, I would want just as much monitoring of my kids working out as anybody else. I think everyone should start breaking the rules.
All right, welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Eric Haynes Show.
No, we do it like we're doing it today, and we can tell everybody like we're telling everybody today about Rusty Wallace Kia, Brian, and they're going to make some payments for you, huh?
Yeah, they're going to make your payments through 2021, and every new Kia comes with a 200,000-mile warranty. It's not they have a couple on the lot that these deals apply to. It's every new Kia on the lot comes with the making your payments through 2021 and the 200,000-mile warranty. That's Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive in Knoxville. And we're going to talk to Jake coming up in a little bit. He's going to play Would You Rather with us to start the 11 o'clock hour. Somebody who's not going to have a good weekend, Tom Izzo, Michigan former, State basketball yep. coach. And two assistant coaches contacted a witness in a 2017 investigation of criminal sexual conduct involving a basketball player before the witness discussed the incident with police. MSU student Braden Smith was with then freshman guard Brock Washington on the night a female student said Washington forcibly groped her, according to a Michigan State University police report. The female student told police that Washington grabbed her, and it went from there. When police officers interviewed Smith about what he had seen that night, he said that he had already been contacted by Izzo and assistant coaches Dwayne Stevens and Mike Garland about the incident. They, quote, asked him if he was okay and if there was anything he had seen during the evening, unquote. Smith then made a similar statement to the Michigan State Title IX investigators, saying that he had been sought out by Izzo and other members of the basketball coaching staff to ask him what he knew. At best, this is a bad look.
I mean, I lean on you for this kind of stuff, so tell me, what do I need to what am I thinking right here?
At best, it's a bad look that you had a coach reach out to a witness or a potential witness in a sexual assault investigation before the police had a chance to interview them. Whether he did or said or asked this witness to do anything, we don't know. But for a coach to reach out to a witness, period, is
not good,
unacceptable. And to do it before they have an opportunity to talk to the police just puts a vision of impropriety that is going to be tough to shake.
Doesn't, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't there an element of this in the Jameis Winston case from Florida State with police department, people reaching out to the victim, telling her that this isn't, you know, this isn't going to go well for you. It's going to be for the rest of your life. Everyone's going to be like almost like trying to coerce her into like maybe not. And like everyone knows the, and I don't know what the stats are, but the amount of, I'm trying to avoid saying the word rape cases or anything like that, that go unreported.
Yeah,
they go unreported. It's astronomical. So like when there actually is one, coercing someone who's been brave enough to say something in the first place not to say something to me is like, wait, what?
At least,
I got two daughters, dude, and I'm married. Like, I can't imagine. That would really bother me. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. Like, if it was my daughter who was the victim in this, and she was brave enough to talk about it and say something about it, and I believed her, and then an assistant coach of a basketball school was trying to contact her.
At least in this case, it was just a witness, and it was not the actual.
Okay,
victim.
Witness. Sorry, thank you for clearing that up for me. But still, I mean, if I found out that they were talking to her friend, that was, you know, and I'd be like, whoa. To me, that reeks of there being an effort to involve themselves, muddy it up, clear it up, try to protect their boy. You know what I mean? Like, that would make me a little bit redneck mad, I think, if that happened.
If I had to guess, and again, it's not a good look, and it's not something that coaches should be doing, period.
And we don't know what was said, right?
Right. But if I had to guess, because this witness was with the basketball player the night that this happened, if I'm just putting the context clues together, when Tom Izzo goes to his player and says, all right, dude, what happened? What is going on with this? He would say, well, nothing happened. You can talk to my buddy who was with me. And so they did. Again, you can't do that if he's going to be a witness in a potential case. But reading this in the best possible light for Tom Izzo, that may be what happened. He said, hey, my buddy was with me, ask him. But the police also want to ask him, and
yeah,
I don't think you can have that conversation until that happens.
I mean, okay, so put yourself in Tom Izzo's shoes. You go to your player, and you say, this is no different than when with A.J. Johnson, when Butch, you know, people got mad that he called the at the time sheriff or chief of police, whoever he called.
Yeah, they said he wanted to know, okay, do I need to suspend him right away, or is this something that we need to let play
out? Yeah, he was trying to protect everybody.
But the appearance was that he was trying to interfere, and that's unfortunately for Tom Izzo, this is going to look like he was trying to interfere. And
maybe he was,
and
maybe he wasn't. We need to, right. I'm willing to give Tom Izzo the benefit of time. We'll let it play out.
But you have to avoid the appearance of it, and that's the issue here. We'll come up. Hour number three of the Eric Haines Show is next. We'll start it with Would You Rather. Jake from Rusty Wallace Kia will join us as well. And will cutting salaries be the new normal in college sports? That's next. This is the Eric Haines Show.